Luke 24, starting at verse 13. Sorry, I've got a bit of a cold. Now that day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the one visiting Jerusalem? Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Father God, we praise you that your word is living and active. And we ask that now as we open up your word together, that we would meet Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I find funny about that Bible reading is that the disciples who are walking along the road don't know who they're talking to. But we do, don't we? It's Jesus. Luke says they were kept from recognizing him. And there were some things that Jesus wanted to teach them before they realized who he was. We're going to talk about how they felt about Jesus before they recognized who he was. Before they recognized Jesus, they felt, well, how would you put it? I'll put it like this. They felt, doesn't quite fit, does it? Here we go. Hopeless. When the man joined them as they were walking along the roads, we know it's Jesus, but they don't. When he asked them what they were talking about, it says in verse 17, they stood still with sad faces. I know they don't look like this, do they? But I think the NIV says downcast, isn't it? It's a frowny face. That's how they felt. They said they'd been talking about Jesus. And if you've got a Bible, look at verse 21. They said, "We had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." They had hoped that Jesus was going to rescue them. But now he was dead. Also, they thought. And all their hopes were gone. Their faces were frowny faces. They felt hopeless. To quote Winnie the Pooh's friend, I've got a picture of him here. Apparently Eeyore once said this, end of the road, nothing to do, and no hope of anything getting better. That's Eeyore. Maybe there's a bit of Eeyore in you. Perhaps there is in all of us at times, isn't there? And so they walked, they trudged along the roads until this guy turned up, who seemed to be the only one in Jerusalem not to have heard what had happened. It's Jesus, remember? And he listened to them. And then he told them off. Did you notice that in the Bible reading? This is verse 25. How foolish you are and how slow to believe. And he basically says, why are you surprised that Jesus died? Didn't you know that the God's promised king had to suffer? That the prophets in the Old Testament all said it would happen. And then Jesus, but they still don't know it's him, showed them from the Old Testament scriptures everything that they say about him. I mean, that would be a good Bible study to be in, wouldn't it? They say later on that their hearts were burning within them as Jesus was telling them all these things. That's the first thing they needed to do, to know. These two disciples trudging along the road felt hopeless with their frowny faces. But they needed to know when Jesus died, it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't the end. No, that's what Jesus came to do, to die for us. It was always God's plan. And if you've been here the last few Sundays, we've seen specifically the prophet Isaiah talks about that. But there was something else they needed to find out. As they walked along, they got near the village where they were going to, and Jesus, although they still didn't know it was him, looked like he was going to keep walking on. He went to carry on down the road, but the two disciples said, no, stay with us. It's nearly evening. Sorry, Alan, I'll go over here. It's okay. and so he did, and they had some food together. And now this is verse 30, if you've got a Bible. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, which the Jews always did, and then broke it and began to give it to them. And suddenly, their eyes were opened. They recognized, it's Jesus. And we're like, yeah, of course it is. We knew all along. But now they knew, it's Jesus. He's alive. It's really him. And as soon as they recognized him, he was gone. Well, they said, Jesus talked to us on the road and it felt like fire in us. It was so exciting that he explained the true meaning of the scriptures to us. And do you know what they did? They jumped up, and having walked all of those 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they ran all the way back. He's alive. We've seen him too. And Sam and Tilly did a great job of showing us what that was like. They said, it was brilliant. He taught us everything we need to know about him. Now we understand why he had to die, but he's not dead anymore. He's alive. They had felt hopeless, but now, let's move these bits a bit closer. Now they felt hopeful. They were full of hope. Their frowns had been turned upside down. Now, an upside down frown face doesn't really look like a face anymore. So look, here's a nice, happy face for us. They were happy even to run all of those 7 miles back. Perhaps they even bounced, a bit like Winnie the Pooh's other friend. Here's Tigger. Now, they didn't sound like Eeyore anymore. And now they're a bit more like Tigger. Maybe they're even singing a song, although probably not his song. Because Jesus is alive, they were full of hope. Now, sometimes we use that word hope in a way that isn't very certain, don't we? I hope it doesn't rain today. Or I hope I get lots of Easter eggs. It's like a maybe hope. But hope in the Bible is very certain. It's more like saying definitely. Because Jesus is alive, I know he definitely died for my sins. Because Jesus is alive, I know he is who he said he is. Because Jesus is alive, I know he's going to make the world right again. Because Jesus is alive, I know that he's with us today by his Spirit. Because Jesus is alive, we can be full of hope, like those two disciples. When you're walking to school and you know it's going to be a difficult day, you can have hope. Jesus walks with you if you trust in him. And one day he'll make the world right again. You'll be part of his people and you will belong. When you hear bad news or you get really ill and there's nothing you can do, you can have hope that Jesus is alive. He's with you today. And just like he beat death, you will too, if you trust in him. When you're just fed up about life, about the news, or about your parents, you can have hope because Jesus is alive. And he cares about you so much that he died for you. Do you have hope today? Full of hope. Honestly, you don't need to be bouncing around like Tigger. You don't even need to paste on a smile if you're going through the mill. But whatever you're going through, Jesus is alive. And so the future is brighter than the present or the past. Jesus is alive, and if you come to him, put your life in his hands, you can be confident that he'll care for you in this life now and into the life to come. You can be sure that your sins, as offensive as they are to God, have been forgiven. Because they saw him alive, we can know that Jesus is alive today. And just as he showed them what they needed to know in the scriptures, we can know him as we read our Bibles today. We can have hope, even when life seems hopeless. Hallelujah. This means praise the Lord. Let's give thanks to God for that, shall we? Father God, we praise you that Jesus is alive, that he lives today. We praise you that just as he had to die, he did die for our sins, according to the scriptures, but also that he rose again, according to the scriptures. And so now, trusting in him, we can have hope. Please fill us with your hope today, and please help us to take your message of hope to the world, just as those disciples ran back to Jerusalem to tell the others. Please help us to run or walk or maybe just limp along that road of hope with good news for the world that needs that message of hope so much. We thank you for Jesus. Amen.